Hair of the Dog. Written by Demery. Read by Obelsong. Fandom My Hero Academia. Rating Teen. Relationships Aizawa Shota, Yagi Toshinori. Kayama Nemuri and Aizawa Shota. Tsukauchi Naomasa and Yagi Toshinori. Also tagged for BDSM, post-traumatic stress disorder, backstory, dom sub, and Toshinori doesn't know how to like things. Part 6 of the Bandages and Bravado series. I always played your songs to say what I never could. Other people say you're better than I would. And for every word left unsaid, I thought you understood. Oh, oh, it was easier to kiss you than to tell you how I feel. Oh, and I don't want to lose you, but you can't see that through your tears. You're saying that I hurt you, but I had no idea. I want the best a man can, but you don't believe that I am. Just cause you say it's so, doesn't make it so. Saying I don't show what I'm feeling for you, I'd rather shut my mouth than to spell it out. There's no doubt when it's written all over my face. What you want me to say that I don't say? What you want when it's written all over my face? If you want, we can talk. One of the things that Toshinori was perpetually behind on, besides paperwork and making his way up to visit Gran Torino, was basic exercise. Just when he had gotten down the intense regimen of vitamins and supplements recommended by Recovery Girl, 3 times a day, every day, except on every other week when he doubled up, plus his normal enzymes and probiotics, she started in on his long hours sitting in the office without any sort of circulation to assist in healing. Never one to disappoint an elder, All Might bowed humbly and said he would work on it. Which was easy, considering UA had the most tricked-out gym in the hemisphere. The other thing he needed was sunlight, however, which no fancy weight-pulling machine could provide. This found him outside jogging in the pre-dawn fog, smiling absently to himself as the sky began to lighten and visibly warm, like cream poured into coffee. A few of the more studious UA attendees trailing onto campus before sunrise gave him strange looks, and he ducked his head and ran a little faster, cheeks puffing. For anyone ancillary to his teaching job, he posed as All Might's secretary to avoid questions, but the majority of the kids on campus had no idea who he was. He'd heard whispers about the homeless guy who hung around in oversized clothing, which was why he was running at dawn and not on his lunch break. He'd catch a little sunlight before heading in. It felt nice just to be gently physical and combined with a strange but not so mysterious growing sense of ease with his body. His head was ringing clear and easy as he looped the abandoned track, pulling on his water bottle without difficulty for the first time in ages. He counted his breaths and squeezed muscle groups accordingly. He finished 10 rounds with ease, then headed in, called by the clock rather than his body, which was nice. Next, a quick shower. It was supposed to be quick, or at least simple. He wasn't expecting Aizawa, of all people, to be the one that opened the door between the shower and the locker room as he tried to go in, almost causing him to fall over. Toshinori pulled back despite himself. Aizawa looked up, determinedly rubbing a towel through his hair, and after an odd moment, walked past him with a soft hum of acknowledgement. Toshinori turned to watch him go without even thinking. He had nothing but a towel on, and for all his years, it might as well have been the first time he'd seen someone with just a towel on. His physique was streamlined but dense, muscles packed in and smoothed out onto his flexible form. His was not a physical quirk, but a product of dedicated training. His arms wouldn't win any flashy magazine awards, but Toshinori was a little mesmerized by the tender cleft of his shoulders
and the precise pull of his deltoids as he dried his hair. His strong, scarred hands clenched in the towel, especially. He didn't even have the time to realize that he was being wildly inappropriate before his gaze found the red welts spread over Aizawa's lean back, everywhere from his shoulders to his waist. They were wide but shallow, fuzzy and swollen at the edges, like strokes of a paintbrush laid over and over. There must have been 1,000 of them. Aizawa-kun. Oh no. He'd said it out loud. Aizawa looked back over his shoulder, fingers busily tying his hair up. He grunted, and Toshinori was embarrassed to be prying, but it was too much to pass by. The marks were too intense, too numerous. Are you all right? You're back. Aizawa didn't answer at first. He shrugged those torn-up shoulders and pulled his shirt on, rolling any kinks out of his neck from his workout. It happens, he said simply, and then he dropped the towel to put his pants on, and it was absolutely time for Toshinori to leave. Safe within the showers, his mind raced. He thought about the previous week and the drastic change he'd seen in the man over that time. Although the faculty were the only ones in the know of the whole situation, about 6 days ago, Aizawa dropped off the face of the planet. One day he just didn't show up to morning class. Toshinori himself found out when Principal Nezu came and asked him to take over the period. He didn't want the students to worry, and instead asked the pro hero to be his usual self, which, as it was 30 minutes into homeroom at the time, apparently meant late and sorry about it. All Might had to admit it fit his track record, and the kids ate it up with visible relief. To his credit, and despite his own personal worry, he pulled it off decently and began an impromptu quiz game over famous heroes, pretending to test the kids on their knowledge of pro-hero law and important figures in history, but really just reading Ms. Yaoyorozu's face to see if the shouted answers were right or not. Any way you sliced it, he wasn't good with names or dates. Still, despite a jolly game show atmosphere that present Mike would have been proud of, a few of them seemed to know that something wasn't quite right. Aizawa-sensei was always on time. He may have needed an extra few minutes to excavate himself from his sleeping bag, but he was always there. That day, he wasn't. Apparently, there had been an incident near campus the previous night. No one was badly hurt, but Aizawa had been nearby on patrol and acted as a first responder. The criminal in question, though petty, had a curious quirk, the ability to blind and deafen people within 50 feet of him. He wanted his name to be Blackout, according to the message board he'd taken to boasting on. Aizawa got a hit in immediately, which was all that was necessary to stop the mugging. But the quirk's effects lasted beyond the criminal's unconsciousness, and it was something Aizawa clearly hadn't taken into account. He panicked. When pushed, his reins had a range of 75 feet and could smash mortar, and a man crumpled in a maelstrom of violently cracking whips was the last thing the police expected to find upon being called to the scene of a simple mugging. He was successfully subdued with the help of a tranquilizer and held in the infirmary overnight, in full restraints. The only casualties from his reins were a few smashed streetlights and numerous gashes in the sidewalk, walls, and roads nearby. But still, it seemed to really shake the squad who was called in, perhaps because they knew him so well as the sleepy, frank, fearless UA instructor who usually lent them a hand whenever he was around. They would ask after him in low tones through unofficial channels over the next week and never hear from the man himself. To even hear that Aizawa panicked and lashed out in such a way reminded All Might that the rational, low-energy hero had things he couldn't bear to lose, his eyesight chief among them. The attack must have hit him at a particularly low point and cracked his emotional armor. To be completely deprived of sight and sound? He grimaced as he remembered Recovery Girl soberly informing him after USJ that Aizawa, an honorable stranger then, was at risk of losing his eyesight, and how it could crush him. Overall, All Might was desperate to speak to his fellow teacher about what happened and what he could do to help. The idea of Aizawa hurting like that rendered him speechless with anger and worry. Nezu worried about the children, but honestly, All Might had barely kept up his facade throughout the first period, and he immediately rushed to the infirmary after because he had a feeling. Aizawa was already gone, but the mournful look on Recovery Girl's face remained. Aizawa was one of her favorites. They had spoken about it earlier, before she shushed him away in a flurry of giggles, and said she didn't have favorites. She liked his dramatically dour nature, and could not be convinced that he was anything other than a grumpy, soft kitty cat, especially concerning the children, and asked him often about the feline residents on campus. Sometimes he brought her hot tea from the staff room. That day, Recovery Girl told All Might everything about the incident, but he hadn't had the chance to talk or think about it until now. Over the days following his return, Aizawa had floated in and out of the faculty lounge, more haggard than usual. He made it through all of his lectures, but he visibly twitched when spoken to, and wouldn't raise his eyes from the floor. His scruff had almost graduated to a full beard, and his hair was visibly tangled and dull. Even present Mike was subdued around him, and clearly knew not to touch him in any way when he was like this. Had he been like this before? When? The entire faculty seemed to know to give him space. The idea only made All Might more concerned, big heart straining. All Might was torn between giving his fellow instructor space as well, because he legitimately looked disturbed and he didn't want to crowd his recovery. And absolutely crowding his recovery and making sure he was taking care of himself and bringing him soup if he so much as implied he could eat. Or juice packs? Whatever Aizawa wanted, he would bring. The struggle not to return the favor that Aizawa had granted him, that of rest and recovery, tortured him even as he didn't know how to help. Aizawa was a strange one overall, even exempting the traumatic circumstances. All Might texted him once or twice. No answer. Then, out of nowhere, he showed up yesterday morning with a calm smile on his face. His hair was washed and tucked into a band at the base of his neck. He was clean-shaven and looked 10 years younger than he had 24 hours ago. The change was so extreme, All Might wondered if Nezu had employed a body double, or if Recovery Girl had pulled out a new set of tricks after all these years. Or maybe UA had built a spa? But no, Aizawa didn't go to spas. Toshinori watched his younger co-worker like a hawk, but he slouched around like normal and rolled his eyes like normal and even teased him a little. He chalked it up to a miracle at the time. But those marks on Aizawa's back made him wonder, could the two be connected? All Might had a habit of wondering pretty loudly.
So you want to know?
I was wondering, he confessed, like it wasn't already a neon sign over his head. He'd hardly lasted one school period before asking the younger instructor out for a drink after work. A coffee drink, not a drink drink. They sat at a table in a little chain coffee shop, their various books and bags tucked under their chairs, All Might tapping his foot nervously. Aizawa shrugged, taking a moment to nip off a straw wrapping with his teeth and poke it through the lid of his iced coffee. During the process, he seemed to decide how much he was going to divulge, and All Might ended up being surprised by his honesty. Though perhaps he shouldn't have been, considering their track record. Aizawa was, if nothing else, a relentlessly honest man.
You know I don't sleep. Very well, at least.
Toshinori nodded, though he didn't know. In fact, a large student betting pool existed over why, exactly, Aizawa never looked rested. He probably could have asked present Mike at any time, but he saw no reason to pry.
The insomnia pretty much started when the pro-hero thing did. I did a few jobs undercover and was never able to shake the sense that I had to be on the defensive all the time. It saved my life once or twice. I'd stay up for days at a time, jacked up on whatever the gangs had that I knew I could safely take, then sleep it off over the weekend. Woke up starving and even more fucked up, and then it would start over. Aizawa hardly glanced at Toshinori's aghast expression. Clearly they had led very different lives, but there was little to say about it. It was what needed to be done at the time. It was a long time ago. The plan worked. Unflinchingly rational. Toshinori struggled to take it all in. And then something far away clicked. He remembered from class a few days ago, when he was quizzing the students over the development of superhero law. Wait, the triumvirate? The huge takedown 7 years ago? The one that set the standards for legally prosecuting superpowered gangs? That was you? Aizawa nodded, put a finger to his lips. Toshinori made a mental note to tell Naomasa that one of the nameless heroes he'd ecstatically praised for years, taught in his homeroom, and liked juice packs. Holy shit. Whenever I transitioned into teaching, I was able to reset, sort of. I sleep normally for about a week, with only one or two bad nights. But whenever I get pulled into the field and things go south, that irrationality switches back on for me and I go back to old habits. All Might remembered what Aizawa had first said to him. Sometimes you, your training, won't let you do what you need to do to relax. His heart squeezed. Aizawa knew, personally. On the other side of the cafe table, Aizawa had the presence of mind to smirk. So, when it's been 3 days and I'm hallucinating, I have something that helps me relax. Toshinori's ears pricked at that word. He knew that word, and his mind flew. Do you... he began, not having the slightest idea how to end the sentence, as the only bandage-toting person with skills in that area was in front of him. Who strung Aizawa up when he needed it? Sooner than he expected, he got his answer. Midnight. Toshinori blushed. Hard. The images that filled his mind were... not PG. Only fitting. Her marketing team knew what they were doing. But then he thought a little harder. So... her sleep dust? That's pretty clever. Toshinori admitted with a bit of relief. A knuckle to his chin. Aizawa shook his head. Have you ever gotten hit with that stuff? It leaves you with a hell of a headache. Aizawa grumbled. It's a last resort if I need it, but it's not her only weapon. The crop. All Might's blush came back full force. The younger hero watched him put it together mentally and gave a sideways shrug. I need it every so often, and she thinks it's fun. Aizawa continued, sipping on his drink with one eye on his phone. It's a way for me to get back into my body and shut my mind up so I can get deep enough to sleep. Or at least check out for a few hours. She doesn't have many people crawling to her who can also take her at full strength. So yeah, and she does have a careful hand, despite her ego. It was all far too much for Toshinori to process at once, and Aizawa looked up curiously. Then smirked again, something a little bitter in his expression. You're uncomfortable. No, it's... Toshinori frowned into his hand, thinking. He tried to translate his comments and concerns in a way that was caring and not ignorant. He kept his voice low, but not so low that it seemed shameful. So she hits you. Hurts you? She balances pain, stimulation, and deprivation to exhaust my brain and my body until I'm past my ability for rational thought. Then, after a few hours, I can finally sleep. A few hours? Of being struck repeatedly? Stimulation. Toshinori picked at his cuff. Something was making him uncomfortable. And it wasn't the idea that the man in front of him asked to be beaten into a stupor in order to overcome his insomnia, which plainly sounded like an offshoot of PTSD. It wasn't something that people talked about in the hero community, and Toshinori found an entirely new reason to resent the culture of silence that allowed brave men and women to suffer like this.
struggling even to sleep and left to their own devices. Still, Aizawa had found something that worked for him. Someone that worked for him. "Well, if that's what helps, I suppose it's nice you found such a lovely assistant," he said mildly. Then he paused, his throat caught unexpectedly. "So, are you two..." He waggled his fingers vaguely, touching two together. "No, no, no, oh God, no." Aizawa looked disgusted and exhausted by the sheer thought. "We were in school together. She's a good friend, and it's just a rational arrangement. Kind of like ours, but different." All Might flushed for the umpteenth time that afternoon. First, they had an arrangement? Second, what was the same and what was different? But Aizawa was wearing a smug look that told Toshinori that the next turn of the conversation would be on his terms, and, oh my, he delivered. "My tastes run in a different direction. I don't appreciate women with the same masculine vigor as you do." Toshinori hit a flurry of coughs in his hand, mortified. When he surfaced from the small fit, the younger hero was pushing his straw around his drink, like a dreamy, malevolent high school girl, slitted eyes locked on his. "Hey now, that's a little presumptuous, don't you think?" he managed to croak, gulping down his own drink.
"Is it?"
Aizawa asked, tone oh so curious.
"I think everyone alive knows what All Might likes. Shiny foreign cars, tiny blonde models, expensive hotel stays. It comes naturally to the world's number one hero."
Something about the way he enunciated the words made Toshinori cringe, all the way down to his soul. His fists clenched underneath the table. Why did Aizawa seem to know exactly how to get underneath his skin? "That's not it. That was for... it was just..."
"For the act, not for yourself?"
"Hmm." Aizawa pretended to think about it, and took his time doing so. He flicked his straw around some more.
"So you were just accepting all that because you thought it would make everyone else happy?"
There was such tacit derision in his voice, hidden by an innocent tone. It's not like it was torture. All Might was embarrassed and a little ticked, scuffing his shoe on the ground and glaring into his drink. Cars, apartments, hotels, trips, they were the few things he couldn't donate. Any money went to charity. Any moment went to the city. Of course people found a way around that. And he couldn't snub the gifts or the givers, who were often very important to the community. So he had to accept everything. At least until he could pass it on to someone with a greater need. He remembered carousing around Tokyo in fancy cars like it was yesterday. A pretty woman at his elbow, warm air swarming with the sound of photos snapping as dense as a swarm of cicadas, as the press ate it up. It gave people joy to see a symbol of protection enjoying what the city had to offer. It promoted communal pride, happiness, and a sense of safety. It was a flat memory, glazed and sealed with the golden glow of the way his body felt. He had enjoyed the intention of the gifts, the reaction to his own enjoyment, but little more. "You see, in order to inspire a sense of, with great power," Toshinori began sweating.
"When's the last time you actually enjoyed something?"
Aizawa asked, suddenly strict. "That night at your apartment." Toshinori tapped his nose, trying to think of something, anything different. Nothing came to him. A calloused hand clenched aimlessly under the table, nervous and a little worried. What did he like?
"It shouldn't take you that long to think about it,"
Aizawa said dully, pushing himself up from the table and throwing a 1,000 yen note down. It was enough for his own drink and half of All Might's. "Hey, will you at least let me pay? Just this once? I invited you out, after all," Toshinori pleaded, gesturing to the table.
"I take care of my own things," he said briskly.
Less complicated that way, it seemed. It functioned as a statement on Aizawa as a whole. Toshinori would come to realize. One that was soon to change as they got closer. But that day he accepted the chilly reasoning with a tired nod of his head, and sat quietly as his co-teacher gathered his things. "I hope you have a pleasant evening, Aizawa-kun," he said at length, trying to sound as kind and mild as possible. Aizawa responded with a tired nod, and Toshinori smiled. "Thank you for speaking with me. You didn't have to, but I appreciate it. I appreciate learning more about you, and I hope I can help in the future." Aizawa passed behind him without acknowledging the sentiment, which was more or less expected. It may have come off a little heavy, on the heels of what they were just talking about. Just like that, he was gone. Toshinori sighed, exhausted but a little impressed at his own tenacity and bravery. He'd gotten his answers, and it was a lot to take in. Of course, he couldn't help but worry about his friend. He tried the word out in his head and smiled faintly, but turned around as he heard Aizawa say his name. The younger hero was standing by the door to the small cafe, looking back at him with a distant, almost cold expression on his face. Toshinori's smile disappeared. "You know," Aizawa began grimly, rubbing his right eye, "people who take things they don't want just because somebody else wants them to, they're liars. I have no respect for liars." "Then I suppose you must not like me very much," Toshinori said quietly, taken aback. "You're working on it. I can respect that." That said, Aizawa slung his bag around his arm and pushed the cafe door open, bell chiming loud. "Bring your notes tomorrow, or you're in charge of the next field trip." Alone the next moment, Toshinori's baffled expression slowly warmed to a smile. He sipped his smoothie and put up his heels. Friend indeed. He still forgot his notes. In retaliation, Aizawa sent him and 20 thrashing superpowered children to a 3-hour-long villainy court case just to spite him, and to introduce the students to the concept of due process. But mostly spite. Mostly so much spite. The end. It's just a problem of our own creation. Sometimes love gets lost in translation. Yeah, yeah. What you want me to say that I don't say? What you want when it's written all over my face? If you want, we can talk about it all day. But what's to say? If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!